Church. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved, and we're so glad that you actually chose to be here in the room with us tonight. And we are a spirit-filled church that is here to stay, and I'm so proud of these young people tonight who took a step of faith and just stepped out and stepped into ministry to pray over people. So thank you for being bold and brave, and some of you didn't even know I was going to do that, right, Otis? And you're on the spot under pressure, but God is good. But here's what we are. We are committed to following Jesus within His life-giving church, and with a mindset to invite everyone I know to participate in giving and serving and loving. And it's actually learning to give and to live and to serve and to love like Jesus, and allowing Christ to be formed in us. And that doesn't look like spectating, friends. It doesn't look like cancel culture. It doesn't look like quitting on His great church because it's more comfortable to stay home. And I know that's the temptation we have sometimes, but no, we live by our precious set of values and our mission, and we're holy and set apart for God's great pleasure. And like at Beloved, it's a high call to action here, by the way, at Beloved City Church. And Jesus is our everything, and we love our church, and we worship loud, and we go together, and meaning we serve one mission and one vision, and no one is meant to do life or ministry alone. And we see beyond ourselves. See, that's what we're called to do, is see beyond ourselves and choosing to overlook offense and to set aside my preferences and laying down the idols of consumerism and comfort and careerism and all those fun individualism. That's a God nowadays too, right? A little mini God. And like, I love what I get to do and being part of God's great church. And I'm glad that you are here. And I love that. That my family and I are here to stay, and you're here to stay, and God's church is here to stay, and you are invited. If that's new to you, you're invited to come and stay, and let's make it a home. And but if you have it in you, and you can learn to own the commitment with us, I'm here to stay too. I'm here to make a difference in the city and to reach lost people, to help them find Jesus, know Jesus, love Jesus. Then together we get to collectively serve a mission and vision larger than any one person. That's what God's called us to do. And it's beautiful. See, even Jesus did that by serving a mission and vision larger than Himself. God called, God sent Him to die on the cross for us. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but it's a beautiful thing to be a part of, seeing lost people come to know Jesus and save people, live more like Jesus. Is there anyone here that wants to live more like Jesus? It's God's vision. You can get excited with me. It's okay if you do. That's all right. We're not a shy church. I know there's a lot of new people here tonight too that are looking in and trying to look for a church, and that's all exciting too, but I just want to encourage you. Don't be shy. Be brave, and it's God's vision, and God's church is still alive and well today, no matter what the world might tell you. And God's church is still His plan A for hope and healing on the earth, by the way, for people to move from hurt to healed. Ephesians 3:29 says that the church is the manifold wisdom of God, by the way. And I'm so excited to be part of God's manifold wisdom, His great church, His spiritual family, a royal priesthood, hosting and serving the great presence of the living God. Lively stones. This has got a couple lively stones here tonight, fitted together by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. So I'm excited. Do you have your Bibles with you tonight? If you don't, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well. Get your notepads out, open them up, and get ready for the Word of God. I believe that He has something for you tonight. And I want you to learn to posture yourselves not to only just be a listener at Beloved City Church, but also to be a learner. Why? Because leaders are learners, and I want to help you grow in your leadership. You're all leading someone in your life, whether it be kids, whether it be your neighbors, whether it be family, whether it be workmates, and I want to help you learn how to lead well, lead in a godly way. So lean in, because leaders are learners. So I won't call anyone out tonight for not taking notes, but I encourage you, take some notes. I just know that you won't learn how to give and serve and live and love like Jesus Christ if you're not paying special attention to your discipleship formation. Your job as a Christian is to become more and more like Jesus. So dig in, learn, let's do this. Salvation, Scripture says salvation begins in the house of the Lord. Scripture says we are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Scripture also says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So if you're lacking faith tonight, you're in the right place, because you're going to hear from God tonight. And that's what happens. And so you need salvation tonight. You might need salvation from gossiping. Maybe it's simply that tonight. Maybe you need some salvation from bad attitudes, poor spirit, right? Or even an addiction, whatever it might be. The Spirit of God is here. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty and freedom, isn't there? And so if you're lacking liberty and freedom, get in the presence of God. Get back in the house of God. Let's learn and grow together. Grow and go together, right? There is freedom for you brave heart people out there. By the way, If you're not in the city group, I know I've got all kinds of commercial breaks, but I'm trying to help you learn tonight. If you are not in a city group yet, what is a city group? It's a small group of people in this room who are gathering midweek because we believe discipleship cannot hang on just 1 hour of teaching and preaching on the Sunday. It's got to move into the week. You got to get together with your peers and friends and older and younger, and you got to help each other. You got to learn and repeat what you were learning and help each other grow, and that's what we do in small groups. And so it's beautiful. We get to share parts of our life, and that's how we feel known and loved, by the way. Seen, you come to church, we high-five you. Welcome to church. Known and loved is you got to get involved in. Get in a city group and participate in growing in your salvation, growing in your discipleship, and then being challenged. Man, you got to be challenged, because if you don't get challenged, you're going to stop growing. When you stop growing, you begin dying. That's atrophy, spiritual atrophy. So here's how I'm going to challenge you. Get involved in a team. Don't be a spectator. Be a contributor. Get involved in your local church, in your workplace. Like, be an involved contributor where you live, work, and play. Is that okay? I know I'm preaching already. All right. If you haven't gotten to city group yet, I don't want to shame you a whole lot more, but what are you waiting for? So see someone in the lobby again with a lanyard and jump into a city group and start taking your discipleship serious. I really encourage you in that, and your life will be changed. And I believe that with all my heart, because I'm seeing it in real time in the city groups that I'm seeing in our church rising up and lives being changed. If you like it where you are in your spiritual formation, don't bother going. Because I'm looking for spiritually hungry people who would do anything short of sin to be in the presence of God and to grow in the image of Christ and to be with his people, to be transformed into the image of Christ. You going with me? Yeah. I know I say it straight around here. I just want to be an honest preacher. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. So if you're ready to be challenged today, let's go. Not only are we wrapping up with 21 days of prayer and fasting today, which some of you are really hungry probably by now if you've been not eating at all, and really thirsty, one of the two, or ready to jump on Instagram again. Hey, what the point of fasting, by the way, is to build new habits. So don't jump back into doom scrolling as soon as you get home tonight, or jumping in the Cheetos and ice cream, whatever it is. Like, just allow those new habits that you formed over the last 21 days to be new life-giving habits for yourself. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But we're also wrapping up this message series today on called Ask, Seek, and Knock. And this is actually our theme for the year, so we wanted to kick off the theme with talking about praying and learning how to pray some dangerous prayers. And there's a book that we recommended called Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle that inspired this teaching. I read it a few years ago, read it again, and it changed my way of praying in my life. And I encourage you, jump into getting, there might be some in the lobby, get it on Amazon, whatever that might look like. But because here's the thing. Over the past couple of weeks, what we've been learning is to pray bold and daring prayers, because here's the thing, following Jesus was never meant to be safe. Following Jesus was never meant to be safe. So we've looked at two dangerous prayers so far, and we've talked about praying for boldness. God, make me bold. How many prayed that prayer? God, make me bold. I know a few of you went along with us in that. And last week we paused and we learned to pray the prayer, God, speak to me. And we paused and we reflected and we listened, God, speak to me. And it's beautiful. God has been speaking and he's always speaking. It's just that we're so busy and we don't ever stop yapping at God, I need this and that. And it's like, just stop, listen. And that's what we've been doing. So God, speak to me. And then it's been really hard for us sometimes. My thoughts are everywhere. But God is so faithful. But here, today, maybe the most dangerous prayer that I want to warn you is probably, you probably won't like this prayer, by the way, and some of you very likely, as soon as I say it, you're going to like, I refuse to pray that dangerous prayer, and so that's okay. It is not a common prayer, and it's not an easy prayer, by the way, and it doesn't match the normal safe prayers that many of us pray, right? And it's not consistent with the God should make your life easy and give you lots of nice things in life version of North American popularized version of Christian culture, Christianity or cultural Christianity. Like, that's not the prayers that I'm trying to teach you to pray. And I know I like the easy prayers too. It's not that they're bad, but I'm trying to challenge you to pray differently and to seek God and ask, seek and knock in a different way than maybe you have throughout your spiritual life so far. And easy prayers are okay too. Like, God bless this food today and God help me to travel. God keep me safe as I fly in this tin can today at Mach 3 or whatever we go. I have no idea. And God bless this taco. I had tacos at Taco Fino yesterday. I'm like, God bless this taco, all right? It's amazing. I love it, right? I don't want to get heartburn tonight. God, can you please bless this to my health? Like, I want to be safe. I do, and so do you. And I definitely don't want to be up all night with heartburn tonight when I eat tacos or whatever. But I love tacos. I'm just going to be honest with you. So God, help me to have a nice day today. That's not a bad prayer. It's just a safe prayer, right? We want to have a nice day. We want to have a good day. And I don't want to have a miserable day. Right? That sucks. And like, truthfully, I want to have a great day, an easy day. Actually, I don't want to get in a traffic accident or whatever, right? Like, I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want to face any challenges. In other words, God, if you really love me, give me a hassle-free day with good food, green lights, and nice people. Well-behaved kids for those who have kids. And no face acne on my most important days when I got to get photo shoots at school, right? That's like praying, like in Jesus' name I pray, we just add some authority in there just in case. And the prayer I want to teach you about though today is not a safe prayer. It's one of the most dangerous prayers that you can actually pray. And if you pray this prayer, God will answer this prayer. I believe that. And you might actually feel more frustrated. You actually might become more uncomfortable in your life. Life might actually become a little bit harder. And chances are really good it's not going to get easier. But yet what I want to invite you to do is to come with me in your prayer life. To join me in praying this bold, intimidating, and dangerous prayer. Again, because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. And the prayer that we're going to pray this week is, God, break my heart. God, would you just break my heart? Break my heart, God, crush it. Strip me of comfort and ease and spiritual apathy. But I want to warn you, if you pray this prayer, God's going to answer it. And you may find yourself burdened and grieved and your heart aching over something that burdens the very heart of God. And if you pray this prayer, you might even lose sleep tonight. Your heart might start to burn, not with heartburn, but with a righteous anger. You might find yourself doing things that other people don't really understand. Like, what the heck are you doing? And when you do, you might actually face spiritual resistance in your life, or even opposition, or criticism, or even persecution in your life. And in all your pain, and all your discomfort, and all your agony, you can still find joy. When, here's a quote for you, I want you to write this down. When you will be blessed as your heart breaks over something that also breaks the heart of God. When you begin to pray these dangerous prayers and pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours, you will be blessed, my friends, as your heart begins to break over something that is breaking the very heart of God. Yes, it's a dangerous prayer. God, break my heart, God, for what breaks yours. And today I want to look in scripture with you, starting in the OT, the Old Testament, looking at the prophet Jeremiah, preacher Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, he had a funny and unfortunate nickname. He's known as the weeping prophet. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known as the weeping pastor. That's just not what, you know, or the weeping athlete, or, I hope you don't want to be known as the weeping teacher, if you're a teacher, or whatever you might do, the weeping barista. Like, Matt, can you imagine being known? But he was known as the weeping prophet because his heart was breaking over the plight of the people as God's heart broke for them as well. But before we get into Jeremiah, let me give you a little bit of the context of what was going on during the time and life of the prophet of Jeremiah. The people of Judah were rebelling against God, and it was rampant, complete rebellion. The leaders were abusing the widows. They were taking advantage of those who were poor. They would sacrifice, believe it or not, their children and babies to a false god, and God's heart was getting wrecked over the sinfulness of these people. This is the context. And Jeremiah, his heart was aching on the behalf of God's broken heart. And he's like, this isn't right, God. How can this actually happen? God, how can you allow this to happen? How can you claim to know and love God and still behave like this and abusing people and mistreating those that are powerless and without? His heart was breaking. And you can see it here as we have it for you. Jeremiah 8 and 18, when the prophet says, "As my grief is beyond healing. There's no repair. It's so great. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken." He said, "I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn and I'm overcome with grief. My heart is crushed. My heart is broken on behalf of the injustices of those who are abusing those who do not have the power to defend themselves, to make things right for themselves. My grief is beyond healing," he says. "My heart is broken." So Jeremiah did what he knew to do, and this guy, you know, he preached some of the most fiery sermons in the history of the world, and you can read them in Scripture. When he preached fire and brimstone, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he stood strong, and he actually threatened, and he did everything that he knew to do, and things did not immediately change. And he said, my grief is unbearable, my heart is broken. Question, do you want that in your life? Like, seriously. My grief is beyond healing, my heart is broken. And I hurt with a hurt with my people, and I mourn, and I'm overcome by my grief. Because when I wake up, friends, I want to be honest with you, like I said earlier, I want the opposite of my life. I just want to go through my day and have no real big problems. I don't want anybody to flip me off, cut me off in traffic. Like, I want the Americano Misto, like, pronto as I walk through that drive-through. I don't want anybody to be rude to me. If I open the door for you, like, I want you to actually say thank you. Am I, what the, I mean, important stuff like that, right? That's the kind of, I don't want any problems or heartaches. Anyone in the room that just wants like that, like me sometimes? Am I the only one? Now, I know some of you like comfort too and don't like crazy stuff in your world either. I don't want any heartaches or grief, God. Oh, what the? That's why it's a dangerous prayer. It is a really dangerous prayer. And God, break my heart. Here's the thing. When I'm talking about something that breaks your heart, I'm not talking about like even, you know, your spiritual interest or kind of like a little thing that spiritually annoys you or even a little simple good deed that you do every now and then to make yourself feel better about your spiritual growth. No, you know, like when I leave the gym, I often see a homeless guy on the side of the road with a sign, you know, I'm hungry or whatever, and every time I see him, I look to see if I have some change. I give him some change and my loose change. And no, that's not quite what I'm talking about, actually. I'm not talking about that, giving my loose change away. Or that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, too. But I'm not talking about something at that level. I'm not talking about like, oh, man, I just hate it when animals suffer. And I don't like it when animals suffer, too. That sucks. That's bad. And so, I joined this effort to, you know, rescue puppies from Mexico or whatever. And it's so wonderful and great. But no, I'm not talking about that either, is breaking my heart for that God. Good for us, right? We rescue dogs every once in a while. Rescue a dog if you want to rescue a dog. I'm not talking about something like, I like my dog too, by the way. What I'm talking about is a gut-wrenching burden that consumes your thoughts, that just doesn't let up, and it doesn't go away, and it eats at the inside of you, and it gnaws on your insides, and gnaws at your heart, and it consumes you until you simply cannot not act upon what is being stirred inside of you. Like, you have got to do something because the pain that's up in the inside of me is burning inside of my heart. And honestly, when you get to this place, the feeling that you have on the behalf of God is the opposite of everything that popular culture programs you to want, by the way. It's the very opposite of the feel-good version of Christianity that says God only exists for you. God exists to make your life better, to take away the pain, to fill you with blessings and ease and holidays and prosperity and comfort and more cars and a brand new iPhone 64 or whatever it is out today. No, it's the opposite of, this is the year of abundance. I love it's the year of abundance. It's time to multiply and increase. You're going to accelerate, like self-help kind of stuff, positive thinking, right? If you can see it, you can be it. If you can name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, speak to the universe, manifest it, it's time for you to be hashtag blessed. Like, I know you have God's favor. He loves to give gifts, and he does. He's a good father, and he blesses, and he provides. Yet, but what if, write this down, what if God's greatest blessings, friends, comes from God's greatest breakings? What if God's greatest blessings were to come from God's greatest breaking? What if the very most special blessings from God come on the other side of the pain that moves you out of self-care to care about people on his behalf? Because we're so consumed about caring for ourselves that sometimes, often we forget about who God's caring for. He cares. I know he cares for you, but would you have the same attention for the things that breaks God's heart? What if God wants to make new wine out of the crushing that you are experiencing? What if the greatest blessings are actually on the other side of God's greatest breakings or lives? What would happen if God really broke your heart for the things that break his? What if God blesses you with such a heavenly burden, a divine burden, a holy hurt? I don't know about you, but I'm human too, and I like comfort. I really do. I like luxury, and I really do. I like a nice hotel rooms, and I know some of you like clamping or glamping and camping. I hate camping. I've done plenty of camping. I really don't. I like having a fresh pair of Jords, right? And I like smelling good with a classy perfume, I should say. And I like someone else to mow my lawn for me because I sneeze every time I mow the lawn, right? And like, I like comfort a lot too. But here's the problem. Comfort has never once moved me to action. Comfort has never once moved me to action. It makes me fatter, unhealthier, more lustful. Like room service, bro. I ain't got time to go down the stairs and risk creasing my new Jords. Like more luxury in my life has never really gripped my heart to actually really care for those who are suffering. I don't like discomfort. I don't like pain. Anybody who enjoys pain has probably a whole other set of problems. It's okay. You don't enjoy it. Neither do I. It's not normal to enjoy pain. Most people like to live pain-free, actually. Inconvenience-free, right? But pain-free days have never made me more like Christ. Why? Because here's what pain does. Pain purifies. Suffering strengthens. When you're going through crap, tough things, you're actually growing some grit when you have to go through tough circumstances. Trials, they actually make you more like Jesus. And they actually teach you how to depend on God rather than on your own abilities. I've seen so many Christians avoid discomfort, and even myself, friends, I'll be honest with you, in my life, seen so many Christians avoid discomfort and avoid hard work, spiritually and physically, actually. And yet, in Scripture, I don't ever see Jesus ever avoiding pain, ever avoiding suffering or discomfort. What do you mean, Father God? Like, I've got to walk everywhere? Like, ain't I supposed to be the Son of God? Like, the least you could have done is given me a donkey all the time. I actually got to ask for them once in a while. Born in a cave that's meant for livestock? Really? Die on a cross for other people? Ah! Poor Jesus. If he thought like us sometimes, right? But that wasn't the attitude or the spirit that Christ had. Praying, break my heart, oh God, it's a dangerous prayer. It'll snap you out of your self-centered pursuit of comfort and ease. And we worship these idols, friends, in our lives. We do. And I pray for you and for me that we would take a step. We're all about taking next steps at Beloved. And I encourage you, every one of us could take this step to take a step on the high road, one that is narrow, one that's going to cost you something. See, following Jesus is free, but salvation is free. Sorry, following Jesus costs you something. Discipleship costs you. You got to die to self, deny self. It's not so much about, we were learning yesterday about self-care, but it's about denying myself and giving up that, what I want and I lust after and all those cravings. It's like, God, what do you have for me? What breaks your heart, God? Can you break my heart for that as well? It's a bold and dangerous prayer, friends. And you can see those whose hearts were broken all throughout Scripture. Moses, he watched again and again as a young boy in Egypt, as the Egyptians cruelly beat his people. Ruthlessly beat his people until one time he just snapped and killed somebody. And he carried that burden in his heart for decades until years later God called him to stand before the most powerful man in the world. And with a heart breaking from the pain of the plight of his people, he said, "Let my people go." David, a little shepherd boy, the whole nation's at war, and his dad says, take some crackers and cheese to the real men at the front of the battle lines, David. And David walks up and he sees the wars at a standstill because a great giant named Goliath seemed too big to defeat. But see, Goliath made a big mistake. He was making fun of God and the people of God, and David walks up and he hears this and he couldn't take it, couldn't stand it. And something breaks in his heart. And he stands up and says, who are you to come against the enemy, come against the armies of the living God? Who do you think you are? Everyone else thinks you're too big to defeat. I say you're too big to miss. Where's my 5 stones in my sling? Nehemiah had a relatively comfortable life with a slightly high-risk job. He lived in the palace, and all he had to do was taste the wine and make sure it wasn't poisoned. Pretty cush, but a little risky, right? Anytime it wasn't poisoned, it was a good day. He's still alive. Thanks, God. And he heard some bad news about his extended family, his people. The walls were broken down, and his people were vulnerable to any sort of attack, and they had no support system and no identity and no sense of self-worth anymore, and they were vulnerable at every moment of the day, and it crushed him to the point where he couldn't physically stand it, and he fell to the ground, and he cries out to God, and he prays, and then he puts his own life at risk, and he begged the king, "May I go and take care of my people?" And he went back, but he didn't go back as a builder. He didn't have any experience in construction. And somehow he figured out how to arrange the most miraculous sense of construction, of rebuilding the walls and the gates of the city, and stood before the people and said, "Fight for your families, fight for your homes, fight for your wives, fight for your husbands, and fight for your sons, and fight for your daughters," because his heart was broken, and it moved him out of comfort into action for the things that were breaking God's heart. Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. "God, Father, they don't know my peace that's available to him. And I broke his heart that they refused, they rejected him." Here's the thing. Some of you, when you begin to boldly pray this prayer, "God, break my heart for what breaks yours." Some of you are going to get to that point that God will break your heart for what breaks his. And he will shake you out of your continual pursuit of comfort. He will stir you with a divine burden that you simply can't ignore any longer. And when your heart breaks one day, as God begins to answer this prayer, you won't be able to hold back. And you might even say, "Okay, God, that's all I can take. I'm broken for what's breaking your heart," right? But your heart might begin to break for those who you know that are not following Jesus yet. You might be a woman whose thoughts may begin to be consumed about other women who are coming out of brokenness, escaping addictive lifestyles. You might be a man in this room whose heart begins to break for men who are being released from incarceration. You know, you might be a young adult in this room whose heart breaks for the youth that are aging out of the foster care system. Some of you have been victimized, some coming out of all kinds of abuse. The burden, it might even become too much for any one person to bear, and that is what happened to me when I began to have my heart broken for the city of Nanaimo, because I prayed, "God, break my heart for what breaks yours in this city, in the families of this city, God, in the households, in the workplaces, God, in this place." And I sensed God calling us to plant a church here to help reach lost people who were suffering in sin and suffering in shame and in brokenness, to see families healed and marriages restored and the next generation finding new life in Jesus and people getting free from these addictions that many of us suffered from. Demonic rule in our lives. It was more than I could take alone. So God began to put people in my life to help carry the burden with me. What if God's greatest blessings were on the other side of your greatest breakings? I prayed, "God, break my heart for this city." And God has, and God is, and God did. And Beloved City Church was birthed out of this prayer. "God, break my heart for what breaks yours." And now I get to witness the work of Christ in the Holy Spirit, in families and young people and in marriages and people being set free from sin and brokenness. I get to witness that. I get to see what God's doing. The lonely are being set into family. And I've seen so many people move from hurt to healed and from stuck to freed. And you might say, "Yeah, I can't wait to be like PC. Gonna have a website, an Instagram, start a charity, be the president. It's gonna be so great, right? I'm gonna have my own merch too. I'm be an influencer." But let me tell you about my journey. It was months of aching without any clarity. My heart being crushed without any clear direction. praying and fasting and investigating and asking questions and going one way and then trying another way. And then after time, there was clarity and God's calling us to find a place to call home. And the problem is we can't find a home and the right one, at least, and to start a ministry leadership school. Great. Well, who's going to lead it, God, right? And filled with great expectations and followed by crushing disappointments and four steps forward and two steps backwards, mistakes and hurt people and people being saved and set free at the same time, and only to be sucked back into their lifestyle of sin. They were trying to escape, and God was helping them escape, but they somehow got distracted and sucked back into that thing. The right leader, remove that leader, replace that leader. Like, it's been nearly 6 years since I prayed, God, break my heart for what breaks yours in this city. And it's been full of ups and downs and highs and lows and times to rejoice and times to cry and weep before God. And the realization is we're helping 80, 90 people right now. Some a little bit less in this room. And the heart-wrenching truth is that the reality is that there's tens of thousands more of broken people in this city that are not being reached by the good news of Jesus. Break my heart, oh God, for what breaks yours. Listen to me. When you pray this prayer, get ready to ache. Get ready to hurt. I don't know what's going to break your heart, like I mentioned already. It might be the plight of the unborn in our country. It might be for the children in your community that can't read. It might be for the racial injustices that haunt so many people. It might be to get clean drinking water to some parts of the world where there's dozens of children who don't have access to clean drinking water. It might be for those who are trapped every day in financial bondage. It might be for children in our city who don't have a loving home. It might be for those who are suffering from mental illness, or those who are trapped in addictions and don't know how to get out, or those who are recovering from infidelity and unfaithfulness in marriages. Maybe that's what your heart's breaking for. And they don't know if they're ever going to be able to trust again. It might be for the teens that you know that are cutting daily or living daily in depression, or don't have good parental influences in their life. Or those who are addicted to pornography. It could be that you serve every single week at Beloved Kids because your heart breaks for those kids who need life in Christ Jesus. When you pray this prayer, your heart will break. And when it does, here's what I want you to do. I want you to thank God that your heart is breaking for the things that break His. I want you to thank God in heaven that on the behalf of Him, you are beginning to care about those things that He's caring about. Because most people think it's easier not to care. It's better not to hurt. It's better not to get involved. I hope you'll understand. I have to write this down, this quote. It's better to hurt with a purpose than it is to exist without one. It's better to hurt with a purpose than it is to exist in your life without one. God, break my heart. So you thank God when He moves you to action. You thank God when He begins to break your heart for what breaks is. You thank God when He calls you. You thank God when He breaks you on the behalf of Himself and gives you an assignment to complete. See, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he was kind of what you might call a false convert at first. He was religious and he didn't know Christ yet. He didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. And so he bragged on his experiences. He brags on his religious attributes. And he says this in Philippians 3 and 5. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day and I was the people of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of all Hebrews. I followed the Pharisaical laws, a whole 613 of them. Like, I led a very righteous life, by the way. And when he came to know Christ, not religion and not rules, but when he had a relationship with Christ, what he says is, I consider all that loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. It's loss. It's nothing. All that religiosity, all that accomplishment, all those degrees, all that, those are some good stuff in there, but it's all that, he said, it's nothing. Checking the religious boxes, it's all garbage, is what he's saying. In fact, when he said he considered all loss, the Greek word actually means like dung, like poop. That's what he says. I consider it all crap compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing the freedom of life in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul also says this in Romans 9 and 1. He says, watch this, as he wants you to know. I believe just how much he cares about what he's about to declare here. He says, With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. In other words, if you don't believe me, Christ is my witness. I speak from the heart with truth. My conscience and the Holy Spirit tell you this is true. Then he says, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people. My heart is beginning to break for the very things that break God's heart. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people. My Jewish brothers and sisters, he says, I would willingly be cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. This is how much I love them. Like Christ is everything to me. That if I had to spend eternity without him just to help those that don't know him to know him, that they would find his love, that they would know him, they'd be in relationship, I would be willing to be forever cursed. Listen, it's a dangerous prayer. When you pray it, your heart will break. You may hurt. You actually might even hurt alone, too. It's a dangerous prayer. And sometimes people will look on from the outside and say, man, you got a great life. And I feel like I got a great life. I really do. I've got a great marriage. I love my kids, and they love Jesus. I've got great friends. I've got a great support network. My pastors, overseers. And yet, friends, at the same time, I've got like this holy unrest. I'm like kind of miserable all the time. Like all the time, I'm kind of agitated. And it doesn't go away. And I hurt for those who think that they have life in Christ just because they attend church every now and then. But all they have is a head understanding and not a heart understanding. A heart that's never really been transformed. I grieve every day for those who are far from God in my city, in my neighborhood. Longing for something to fill the void from things that can never fill the depth of the spiritual void that only Christ can fill. It breaks my heart to see Christians bound up in legalism, rules and laws, and power-seeking, power-mongering that makes them mean and critical of other people and miss the beauty of the grace and the love of a loving Father. My heart breaks for those who are in bondage to the addictions that I've seen crush so many families. My heart breaks when Christians think real life meaning comes from the emptiness of all the things of this world. And you never really discover that the gifts that you've been given have been given to you by God to be used for his glory in the church and as the church in the world. Break my heart, God. Break my heart for what break yours. And then when he does, tell him you're thankful for that pain. Because every day you'll be driven by a higher calling, by a heavenly purpose that God has wired you with. Not just to pursue your own selfish lust and desires, friends, but to actually reflect the glory of a God whose heart broke for you so much that he gave you his own son so that you could experience his grace and his goodness and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness and his life. When he breaks your heart, thank him. That your heart breaks on the behalf of something that breaks his. Because when you pray this dangerous prayer this week, and it's dangerous, he's going to wreck you, I promise. But yet it's so much better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. It's a dangerous prayer, but following Jesus was never meant to be saved. So heads bowed. Let me close with you in prayer. Father, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, we invite you in here right now, God, to do some holy wrecking in our hearts. God, wreck our hearts. God, break us out of our comfort zones, our pursuit for ease. And God, break us out of our spiritual apathy, God. God, I know that there are a lot that will be unwilling to pray this prayer in this room. God, for those who do, God, I thank you in advance that on the other side of the greatest breakings, God, they very likely will experience the greatest blessings of hurting on the behalf of what hurts you and making a difference in this world by reflecting your goodness, your grace, your power, your love, your mercy, and your son, Jesus.